Hi, this is Lesbian Nation. Tonight we're going to have an interview by Shoshana, talking to some lesbian professionals. And before we do that, I've got a couple of announcements for you. There are a couple of poetry readings coming up. One of them is, April 4th, 1974. That's this coming Thursday at 8:30 p.m. It's at the Focus 2 Coffee House, 163 West 74th Street. And the poetry is by Allison Colbert and Susan Sherman. There's a contribution requested, but nothing specific. The next poetry reading is on Sunday, April 7th at 8 p.m. And that's Diane DePrima, June Jordan, and Marge Piercy. That'll take place at the Manhattan Theater Club, which is 321 East 73rd Street. The bar opens at 7:30 p.m., in case you want drinks. Poetry starts at 8. Admission is $1, and it's free to members of the theater club. For reservations and information, call 288-2500. And now for tonight's interview.
Good evening. This is Shoshana. Tonight, my discussion with my guest will deal with a gay professional. Last week, the New York Post published a six-part series called Homosexuals in New York by Barbara Trecker. The sixth article was called The Job Market, in which this statement was made. Job considerations are second only to family considerations in the minds of most gay people who hesitate to come out. The article contains statements by professionals in areas such as teaching, the police department, program analysis, industrial design, advertising, and store management. The stance of these professionals runs the gamut, from Sydney Abbott, a program analyst who has been out on her job since 1972, to a police officer who so fears discovery that he would not permit an interview in person or by telephone. My guests and I are going to explore our own feelings about our sexual identity as it relates to our professional stance. I am a professional social worker. With me is Elizabeth, also a social worker in New York, Frances, a teacher in a public high school in a New York suburb, and Margaret, a nurse registered in a hospital and a student. I myself have a master's degree, and I work for an agency where about 10% of the staff is gay or bisexual. Some of us can discuss some aspect of our sexuality as heterosexuals would, only with our known gay or bisexual colleagues. Among other gay people in our office, a certain unspoken understanding exists, but there is not open discussion about their sexuality. Because we are all professionals, we have some areas of mutual concern, and we would like to discuss those together tonight. One of the primary questions that come up for all of us is, are we out on our job? I am out, as I explained before, only to people who I know are gay and whose discretion I trust. What about the rest of you? Elizabeth.
Well, as you said, I am also a social worker. And I have been for a number of years, but I'm still reluctant to come out officially on the job. I do talk to some friends in my office whom I know are gay. Occasionally I will meet a straight person that I will want to tell, but usually I keep my personal life very much to myself.
What about you, Frances?
Okay, as a teacher, I would very much like to come out and say that I am gay, however, only to the other gay teachers, can I say this.
How about you, Margaret?
Well, being a nurse, I find it difficult to imagine that I would be able to tell the people that I work with that I am gay, in view of the fact that I work with female patients and men patients at the same time. I would like to feel more comfortable in my working area by being able to let myself come out and let them know me as a gay person, but I really can't because of the fact that I do deal with female patients.
Okay, so we've all said, in effect, that we really haven't come out fully on our jobs. I wonder why we haven't. What kind of reaction we would expect?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, as a social worker, frequently my judgment would come into question. The administrators might not like me being alone with the female clients, the young girls, the children. They might feel that I'll proselytize for the gay cause. I feel that there is an assumption in this society that homosexuals are moral degenerates and that they're opportunists and that they must take advantage of people in various situations. They can't imagine that I could keep my personal and sexual life at home and not let it influence my work unless it's to help a child think through their homosexual tendencies or desires. I certainly don't have to sell my way of life to anybody, but if they want it anyway, then I might be able to help them to work it through, mm-hmm. which is my job. Also, I'm afraid that my colleagues might not be as friendly toward me as they have been if I told them. There are many fears that we carry with us. There's a form of paranoia that pervades the gay society, and I certainly am a victim of that. And I would like not to be, very, very much. I'd like to be freer than I am. And I'd like to be respected as a social worker and as a human being and not be labeled as a homosexual. But that's what the society does to us. They label us very, very quickly according to our sexual preference and not according to our abilities.
And you think this labeling would come out on your job?
Oh, indeed it would. I really think it would.
A teacher meets the minds of her students, and in so meeting the minds could perhaps contaminate the minds. This is probably what a Board of Education administrators would think in a school system. Therefore, it seems almost impossible at the time being, for the time being, that a teacher can actually come out and say he or she is a homosexual.
Well, as Elizabeth said, to be called a homosexual is to be labeled. And if I were to be labeled in a hospital setting, as I had mentioned before, dealing with patients, even the females and the males, I would be labeled as perhaps a deviant, as one that shouldn't be touching these people or nursing them. At the same time, I feel very uncomfortable that my coworkers who are female are not in any way antagonized because they work with men patients. And I don't feel that I, because I'm a homosexual, should be antagonized because I work with female patients. But I think that this is the attitude that would come about if I did let people know that I were gay, especially those that were not close to me in my work, perhaps those like the administrator or director of nurses.
Do you think that hiding our gayness affects our professional work in any way?
Well, I feel that I'm often quite hypocritical. If a child or a teenager were to ask me about homosexuality, if they were to trust me with their feelings and tell me a secret that they were unable to share with anyone else, which children and teenagers often do, if they were to tell me they were homosexual or wanted to touch or kiss another boy or girl, I would feel somewhat hypocritical if they asked me if I had ever felt that way and I said no. I would be pretending to be a heterosexual, which I'm not. And in that way, it violates my ethics. I feel that whenever a person is forced to violate their own ethics and to lie, not only to their clients and students, but to their friends, people that they wouldn't ordinarily lie to about anything, it causes a great deal of frustration and some depression, and lack of trust.
I think that what we're all asking ourselves is, why are we hiding? I don't know what the reasons are. Elizabeth, you had something to say about that.
Well, I feel that everyone is afraid to come out for fear of what would happen. They don't know if they'd lose their jobs. They don't know what the attitudes on the part of their clients or their other associates would be. And they can't afford to lose their jobs, so they don't come out.
I'd like to comment a little on what Elizabeth said. I think I myself would be very willing to forsake my job at that particular time if I wanted to come out. But the fact is that I could give up that job, but I would probably not be able to get another job anywhere else. Because once I've come out and it would be a well-known fact. But I would be very willing to give up my job for the sake of the gay liberation movement and declare myself a gay.
One of the things that I think a teacher has to be aware of in thinking about whether he or she should come out as being gay is, what are the parents going to do? We see what the parents as citizens do. They get together in small groups. They try their darndest to write, to get together, to get other parents and citizens on their side, no matter what the question is, whether it's a question about taxes, property taxes, whether it's a question about the new Board of Education that's being elected in the town. They put up their own candidates, another group puts up their candidates, and we have, we're faced with decisions left and right. Which group should we put in office? This group, because this group of parents says they're the best. Now, why can't this all work in reverse? If I came out as a homosexual, I can foresee a group of parents saying, let's get signatures together. Let's try to defame her. Let's get her out of her job. This is a horror. And it's a horror for a teacher to face, or to be put in a position to face. It's much easier to hide than to accept the challenge of coming out. Much easier.
I think we all wonder who is making us play this hiding game, because I think we all know of many people in our professions who are gay, either in administrative positions or colleagues we have, even clients that we deal with. I certainly know that's true in my profession. I would say 10% of the people who work in my office are gay, and I know some administrators in high posts who are gay, and we're all hiding. What about the rest of you?
10% in my school system are gay too, and as I said before, we're all hiding. It seems to be an under-the-table thing, homosexuality. You know, it's not even on the table. It's not above the table. It's beneath everything else. And we hide.
I know of, in my particular hospital, I know of an administrator, a woman, a nurse, who is gay, and I know several other people that are gay. And I would wonder what the straight people would think when they found out that these people that are running their hospital and running their community and helping their sick relatives and friends, I'd like to find out what they are thinking, that these people on high levels are gay. I don't think straight people think that there are high-level people that are gay.
And if they did think so, they might freak out.
Right, wouldn't it be wonderful to let the world know exactly how many homosexuals there are? Could you foresee the day when all of us can come out, all of us,
yeah,
and say, hi, I'm gay, and maybe 40% of the population, 50, or who knows?
I think the nice thing would be that these parents and other phantoms would find out that here we have been doing the work we've been doing all along. We've been conducting ourselves as professionals, as expected, and that sure enough their children haven't been molested, and the clients haven't been stopped in the hallway and raped, and whatever their fantasies are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That we have, in fact, done equally as well as straight professionals.
And you might remember, once a year, there's the gay march up Fifth Avenue. But I recall the reasons why I didn't march is because I felt I had a lot to lose if somebody should see me on TV or take a picture of me and put it in the newspaper. Many of the people who did march were those who had nothing to lose. I'm certainly not saying that for a great many of them, they did have something to lose, but there are others who perhaps were students or perhaps were not working. They didn't care what happened to them, so they would march. What about those who did have something to lose and didn't march? I wonder about how many there are.
Elizabeth, that is a point, because besides being a nurse, I am a full-time student right now in New York City, and if that is all I was at the moment, I would be marching and I would be declaring that I were gay because I had nothing to lose, because as a student it would not affect my being kicked out of school or whatever.
Right. I can see that if I were also a student, I would not be afraid either.
I think that we all work for agencies that have administrative policies that we are not aware of, and that those policies are very vague and very undefinitive, particularly about homosexuality. And I guess most of us wonder whether it's in writing anywhere that we would be fired from our jobs if it were discovered that we were homosexual. Does anyone know anything about their agency's administrative policies on this?
I don't think many boards of education would go on written record as saying that they would hire or would not hire homosexuals. However, for a teacher who has tenure to be fired, there are two possibilities, two reasons why they could be fired. One is insubordination, and the second one is a criminal arrest on charges of immorality or any other criminal offenses.
What constitutes immorality?
That's what you asked in the question when you said many of these policies were not defined too well.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? We're afraid of the interpretation.
Right.
Isn't that right, Elizabeth?
Right. Well, homosexuality is in fact against the law. And therefore, if we were to admit to being homosexual, we would be breaking the law, and therefore immoral. If we were protected by the law, which we hope to be at some future time, then we might not be afraid to admit to our homosexuality. Now, there are numerous examples of professionals coming out officially, and the schools or the agencies have not fired them. Therefore, the homosexual has been spared the wrath of the administrative policy or the label of being a criminal. We therefore, however, are at the mercy of their benevolence and their interpretation of how immoral we are. It is up to them to define how immoral or how moral we are. There are no definite distinctions set up for teachers and social workers and medical personnel at this time, and therefore it creates a kind of paranoia because we don't know exactly how misconduct will be interpreted and to whose disadvantage it will be.
Could you give us an example?
Well, for instance, if a person said they were homosexual and yet they had a good teaching record or a good record as a social worker or a counselor, then they might not be fired. But if the person were seen in a social place, which might bring a bad name on the school or the agency, then the agency might get defensive and fire you. Your behavior, your lifestyle, is all a matter of interpretation. There are no definite policies on what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do, and therefore people choose to hide and to be defensive.
As far as I know, there doesn't seem to be a legal definition of homosexuality, only a medical one or a psychiatric one. And isn't this what we are striving for, in essence, with all of the bills that we're trying to push through? We're striving for a legal level from which we can move.
Yes, but it is there is a law against homosexuals, and that is the sodomy laws. And we are classified under them. And therefore, if we commit a homosexual act, we are, in fact, breaking the law.
We are striving, though, to be legal. I think in so doing, we no longer wish to accept society's interpretation of homosexuality. We want the law on our side so we can be lawful and no hassles and haggles about it, no interpretations. Well, I think we want homosexuality to be spelled out. Almost like a Simple Simon says. Simple Simon says that heterosexuals can do this, so therefore why can't homosexuals do this?
In other words, that heterosexuals have certain limitations placed upon them legally as to their sexual behavior, like you can't rape.
Right, you can't go to bed in Times Square.
Right, and that those definitions should be made clear to homosexuals as well.
I agree. I think that we should have limits just as they do. And therefore, it'll allow us to not be afraid, to go ahead and be ourselves as homosexuals, and enjoy a life as well as the heterosexuals can.
And that clarification would reassure us as professionals. Is that the way we all feel? I certainly do.
I'd like to make one comment here, if I can. I'd like to bring out the fact that homosexual doesn't necessarily mean the act of sex or going to bed. I don't like to always be labeled or perhaps threatened or looked upon as always thinking in a sexual sort of a way. I prefer the presence of a female. I prefer talking to her. I prefer eating with her. I prefer going to the movies with her. And I'd like to be looked upon that way. again, to refer to the heterosexual, doesn't mean that you go to bed with somebody when you think of a man or a woman thinking of a couple together or a man thinking of a couple together. It doesn't necessarily always mean sex. It just means enjoyment of the sex you're with.
Mm-hmm. Homosociality.
Right, which brings us back to what we were talking about before, at least I was, about what the public views the homosexual would do. The social worker would try to proselytize and change a young person's mind. A teacher might do the same, or a nurse might try to take advantage of a female patient. That encapsulates the sexual viewpoint of the public, and I don't agree with that at all.
And the heterosexual, while the heterosexual does have some limitations placed upon him or her, there aren't the same kinds of fears.
Right. Society doesn't assume that the heterosexual is always going to take advantage of
exactly.
a situation.
And we must admit, I will admit, as a homosexual, I feel as though I'm very normal, just as the heterosexual feels he's very normal. But I think the misconceptions that come from the straight people, they are thinking of a homosexual as perhaps maybe the sick homosexual. I will admit there are some sick homosexuals, like there are sick heterosexuals, which is a very true fact. But not all of us are sick, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, and I'd like to get the public straightened out on that fact.
I think that would very vastly affect our lives as professionals, too.
Because as Elizabeth was saying, they all feel that we're going to molest or use our profession in the wrong way, such as a nurse taking advantage of a patient, and I think that's all wrong thinking on the straight people's part.
Well, it's looked upon as mental illness.
They're just not aware of what the homosexual life is like.
That mental illness that you were talking about, Frances, do you relate that at all to the APA decision of late?
Yes. It's now a sexual disturbance.
Do you think that makes things any better for us?
No.
I don't either.
I think more straight people ought to get out and see what the situation is like and see that our lives are just as normal as their lives. Actually, how I would like it to be is to confront the people that I have known for years, and these people who have thought perhaps I have been straight and not the least bit thinking that I am gay, I would like to tell them that I am gay, and just by my example of being what I am and what I always was, show them that this is what a gay person is like. Just as ordinary as anybody else.
Do you think they would still accept you then as a friend?
I think I wouldn't have to worry except when it came to my job, like I've mentioned before. I think many of them would if they were my friend to begin with. If they weren't my friend to begin with, I don't know how they would accept me.
Well, since we are talking about the gay professional, I think that that's really our concern. Will we still be accepted on the job? And that seems to be where we started out. I guess we really haven't addressed ourselves to all the concerns that we could about being a gay professional, but at least we've touched on some of the areas of concern, and I think they can be explored further. I'd really like to thank Elizabeth and Frances and Margaret for being here tonight and participating in this discussion. Good night.
Thank you, Shoshana. Well, in case anybody out there didn't know it, I reached the advanced age of 30 this year, and when people do that, they tend to get a little bit nostalgic. Why, a friend of mine just decided to celebrate the 18th anniversary of her sweet 16. And so we all went, and we had little corsages with sugar lumps on them, for those of you old enough to remember that. And getting a little nostalgic, I thought I might like to play you some music from my childhood. And I got a little sample of that right here. Anybody who's worried about what the modern generation is coming to, I just heard there's a revival of acid going on at some of the local colleges, and I ain't saying which college.
Take the time, drink five, 10, 10, 7. We'll be right in 7. Heaven, we're gonna rock around, rock tonight, gonna rock, rock.
anybody had any shadow of a doubt. This is Old Granny Shelley. And the program you've been listening to is Lesbian Nation. Going to be back next week with it, too.